to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians is in your New Testament. About, what is it? Seven books in. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12. And today, I'd just like to talk a little bit about our church. I'd like to talk about our church in general. And then I'd like to talk about our church specific. And then we're going to address some of the transitions that are going to come up. And we're going to then pray. And one prayer that you can pray right off the bat is that Pastor Kurt will not be too long-winded, so we'll have time to pray at the end. You can say amen to that, right? Amen. Okay. But let's go ahead and come before the Lord, and let's just ask Him to get our hearts ready and to hear His Word and what He wants to do in our lives. Father God, again, we just don't want to show up here and sit in our seats and not be touched by You, not hear Your Word that has life for us, God, that will challenge us to live above and beyond ourselves, and rather than just living in our own little comfort zone or world. God, I praise You for the church. I thank You that the church is Your instrument, Your tool, that we are the church, and You want to use us to reach the world, that people be saved, people be set free. God, that they would have life and life eternal. God, just come and continue to use us here at C4 for Your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. Okay, Mia, we're going to head to 1 Corinthians there. And we've got to go back up one. There we go. We're going to read this. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving great honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is part of it. We're going to start with a question. Who are you? The body. The very last sentence told us, the body of Christ. But another way that we say that is that we, you and I, you all, y'all, are the church. Okay? And I love what Colossians says about, Paul says in 1:27, he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ooh, that's pretty big. Well, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, He says, you are the light of the world. The hope of glory. The light of the world. But a lot of times, you know, we miss out on being that hope of glory and the light of the world. And we miss out on being the church, I think, as God wanted it all to be. And there's, I think, some reasons for that. And we're going to talk about three things today. The church being interdependent, the church being unified, and the church being real. Now, I've spoken about this before, so I'll try to keep it pretty short so we can move on to other things. But being interdependent. 1 Corinthians 12 says these things. And hit it one more time, Mia.
Yeah.
The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. So we are interdependent. Now, let's go back up one, Mia. I got those out of order. I'm sorry. A lot of times, some people say we're very independent. Any of you like to be very independent? I can do it on my own. As I say, I'm a man of my own island. I don't need help. I don't need the manual. I can figure it out on my own. Some of us are very dependent. I always picture of a guy just hanging on somebody's back. Okay? Go ahead, Ethan, stand up. I'm dependent on him.
You better brace your legs, buddy.
Okay? And then he just walks around. You know, all I do is just hang on him. And he's like, probably what after a while? Get off of me, you know? Start walking on your own. A lot of times we think of leeches. What do leeches do? Yeah, we think it sucks blood or just sucks the life out of you. So, you know, some are interdependent. I'm on my own. Others are dependent. But really where we want to land is somewhere of this interdependence. You think of two men grasping hands, helping one another up, working through things. Now, Paul uses an analogy of what? Our body. Eyes, ears, hands, feet. Joseph's not here today, but him and I both like cars. Some of you like cars. I mean, that's kind of cool. I have a lot of parts. And I like to use that sort of as my analogy. The piston, right? Provides the power. Larger the piston, the more power. Turns the crank. Makes the car go. Okay? But you can't just have the piston. We need, maybe some of you are the spark plug. Some passion. My honey, she got a lot of passion. Okay? And she gets going. You know? Some of us are oil. We smooth things out. Hey, oil doesn't look real glorious and stuff, right? Especially after it's been used for a while. But it smooths things out. Some of you are the valves in this engine. And, oh yeah, I hit it twice. There you go. That's my little car. The valves give and receive. Give and receive. Maybe that's you. Fuel, exhaust. The different parts. Some seem to be much more important. At least in our eyes, right? Maybe you think, man, oil is very important. Piston, man. Got to have that. Spark plug? Not going to turn it over if that baby's not, you know, sparking. Some of you see things as less important. But the fact is, they're all needed to make the church function correctly. This next week, we are going to come to church. We're going to start to study about our shape. So I want to give a little advertisement. We're going to try to start that next week if everything works out okay. Our spiritual gifts, our heart, our passion, our abilities, our personality, our experiences. How does God want to use all of these interdependently with other people that have different personalities, shape, passion, to build up the church and reach the world for God? Who are you? The body of Christ. Can you say, I'm the body of Christ? One more time. I'm the body of Christ. Also, you are the light of the world. You are the hope of glory. So we need to be interdependent. Second, we need to be unified. Unity is very important. 1 Corinthians, when we just read that, 12:12 says, just as a body, all its many parts form one body. Okay, not two or three bodies, it's one body. So if you can think of us, kind of look around, I can see all of you, you can't see, you know, we all stay. I wish we were in a circle. but kind of look around real quick. Go ahead, take a quick look. Think if we were all somehow formed one body. Like some of you were arms, like stuck together, legs. This is the unity. And how would we walk? I don't know. But we got to. Unity. Now, anyone like to watch the show Amazing Race? Okay, Lisa? All right, I know you were with me. Okay. Some of you don't watch TV. That's cool. I love it. Okay. Amazing Race is a real cool show. They travel around the world. They have different teams paired up. Like it'd be my wife and I. We always dreamed about going on it. Never signed up yet. So usually when they face a challenge, just that pair does it. But they had one episode where they made teams actually form larger teams of eight. And one of the challenges was that they had to simply, all they had to do is four couples, eight people, row a boat across the lake. Simple, right? It was hilarious. I mean, some people, they didn't even know how to hold the paddle. They had never, I guess, never ever paddled a boat. Some of them were actually rowing backwards against the people. Sometimes, somehow the other side of the boat figured it out and this side didn't. So only one side was rowing. It started going in circles. I felt really bad for this team because the other team, they figured it out real quick and they just sailed across. People started getting angry in that boat. It showed them on, you know, that TV, kind of reality TV, starting to yell at one another. What's wrong with you? Those people just quit. Actually, kind of just tossed their oar in the water. It was hilarious. But you know what? It's not funny in the church. When people are rowing backwards or against people, maybe by choice or maybe not knowing it. When, you know, we're not going anywhere, maybe just doing circles. It's not funny when people are getting angry at one another. Or when people just quit. Say, man, I'm out of here. I'm getting out of the boat. Unity is very important. It takes a lot of communication. It takes a lot of work. You find that out when you get married. You can't just, oh, we're just going to sail through this marriage thing. The same with the church. It takes a lot of work. And I want to encourage us as the church, we all, first of all, we got to get in the same boat. You're not going to go anywhere if you're not in the boat. So get in the boat. And then two, everybody paddle in the same direction. Going the same way. And last of all, we all need to be paddling. I don't want to get too harsh here, but it's got to be said. Some of you are not paddling. You're enjoying the church boat. This is great. I just come, sit there, leave. Some of you, you're paddling in the opposite direction. I'm my own man. I'm going to do what I want. This is my passion, my heart. You know, and it starts to make other people think maybe they should just jump ship. Honest. We need to be unified because Jesus says back, where are we at on that very first slide? Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. And every city or household divided against itself will not stand. We need to be unified in four areas, four basic areas. Beliefs, purposes, how the purposes are fulfilled, and leadership. Okay, I'm not going to talk about beliefs. That's pretty simple. But two, purposes and how those purposes are fulfilled. In our life, there's always the what and the how. Right? There's what you think or what you're going to do or you know your purpose, where you're heading. But then there's how you're going to do it. Both are equally important. We can't just think one is more important than the other. Now, a lot of times we think our how is the only how that there is. It's not. I've been married now for 14 years. It's not. I used to think the toothpaste you only squeeze from the bottom. No. That's not the only place you can squeeze it from. The top is fine. I always thought when you were done with the toothpaste, you put the cap back on it. No, you don't. Okay? I always thought the toilet seat is always up. No, it is supposed to be down. Now, if I always thought my how was the only how, would I be married right now? Probably not. I'd probably be divorced. You know, the church a lot of times is like that. You know, we hear stories in the past, you know, what kind of pews do we have to have? Do we have to have carpet or not? The worship, contemporary, hymns, traditional, 15 minutes, 5 minutes. Prayer, out loud, silent, only by myself. Don't do it at all. All these are hows. They're optional. They can be discussed. And so we need to be unified in these somehow, some way. And one of the number one ways that we get unified in these purposes and how we fulfill those purposes is our leadership. Okay, right? Pastor Wong has a huge responsibility. He has 200 people that have their own shape, their own personality, their own how I'm going to fulfill this purpose. He has 200 people that have their own bad hair day or bad day when they come. He has 200 people that have their own way of thinking. 200 people, you guys don't get paid for coming to worship Jesus, to serve Jesus. And so how does the leader get everybody going in the same direction, paddling? A lot of it has to be, we have to heart to be unified under our leader. To support them. Support me. Support the board. You know, we don't agree with everything that's going on. But that's where we have to choose. To be unified rather than disunified. So, we need to be interdependent, we need to be unified. If we're going to be the light of the world, the hope of glory, the church as God wanted it to be. But also, last of all, I think something that's happened in the past is the church hasn't been real. And I believe that being real as a church is very important. Or else we get everybody walking around being not real, which is fake. Who wants to be fake? Yeah, I mean, some of you, Pastor Kurt, he's a little, I'm sorry, that's just who I am. And I make some adjustments here and there, because I don't want to offend people, you know, left and right. But being real. And of course, following Jesus in that realness. So, this is what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:23-22 and on. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker or indispensable and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. One part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices. We got a lot of different people. Some we think are lesser. And a lot of times we think ourselves are lesser. And so, in these inferiority areas, we start to hide. Or, we all share the same struggles, very similar sins. And this is real. The only difference is, from that world area of sin and struggles, is we got Jesus. We got Jesus. And that's when we come to Him and say, hey, I got this struggle, this problem. Can you help me out? And we come to one another and we say, I got this struggle, this problem. I can't figure it out. I thought I was all knowledgeable, but I just realized I wasn't. Can you help me? This is going to be a dumb question with a kind of an obvious answer, but how do you build a house? You build it up.
How does that sound, Bill?
You build it up. Wouldn't it make sense for one guy to be building the house and the other one tearing it down? So my question is, in the church, why do we say things, do things, give looks, and actions that tear people down? We should be always thinking about, how do I build that person up? Now, that can be a challenge. That can be a correction or a rebuke. But how do I build up the people around me? And that helps in a way that they're not hiding. What are your real struggles? And sometimes we need to point those out to them. Being real, not hiding. Because if you hide, the church slowly gets torn down. If you're real and you reveal and ask of forgiveness and move forward and help build one another up, it does. It builds up the church. You and I, the hope of glory in Christ. You and I, the light of the world. You and I, the church. We need to be interdependent. We need to be unified. And we need to be real with one another. And I thank many of you for doing that, for this church, of being real in that way. Now, this is kind of our church in general, the way God wants to see it. But I want to talk now specifically about our church here at C4. And these are just some ways to better understand. A lot of times we come into a church and we think, well, you know, what's going on? I don't quite understand. I want to make sure everyone understands where we're at and what things are going on. First of all, you know, what is our purpose as the English ministry of a Chinese church? And this is where I think we're at. One, we as the English ministry have two purposes. One, support the Chinese ministry. Mostly helping with the youth, helping with the churches. We provide a lot of resources. Why? Because we speak English and we can teach the youth and the children much easier. And we actually relate to them much better. But in doing that, we reach the Chinese of Colombia so that they will be discipled, so that they will know the Lord and be saved. And the second purpose is English ministry in itself needs to be building our own selves up, reaching people. So they'll be disciples, and they'll grow in the Lord. Now, when we have this purpose, you know, basically I just got to say it. You have to have a heart for the Chinese. You can't come here and interact with people without having the love of Christ in you for Chinese. This is one of the main groups in Colombia we focus on. The number one way that we can reach the Chinese Colombia is love their children and love their youth. But also love them. It was really wonderful to see Christopher and Alicia during Christmas invite children and their parents to come to their home. It's a big step. It's a great step. Chinese New Year at the YMCA. I see someone, you know, and I'm not sure if they're Chinese or not, so I have to go up and ask, hey, Chinese? Yeah. Hey, you want to come to our Chinese New Year celebration? You know? And I speak a bit of Chinese so I can ask them in that way. But to get them to come, to invite people. But also, we as the English ministry are just not focused totally on that. We as the English ministry also have to grow. And in our hearts, you know, we reach anyone who would like to come to know Christ. Really. That is America nowadays. We are a melting pot. Everyone from every different culture, ethnicity, coming together. There's five groups in our church right now. Does anybody know some of those five groups? If you've heard it spoken before. Okay. Chinese adults, Chinese. Oh, yeah, it's on there? All right, someone's actually using the outline. Everybody's like, what? Outline? I didn't know we had one. I'm sorry, Pastor forgot to tell you. Yeah, Chinese adults, okay, Chinese students, usually at USC. They have a pretty big group down there. And then we have English adults in college. I don't stick to them with the youth anymore. As soon as you graduate college, you become an adult. You may not feel like it, but you are. Youth, and then children. And in that, number two, the English ministry ministers to the English adults in college. We minister to the youth, and we minister to the children. Now, we get a lot of help from the Chinese ministry side, praise the Lord, but these are the areas we're mostly responsible for. Trisha Bailey is a staff member here at the church. She helps out with the children. Dan has been with us for a long time, praise God, and his wife Anita, they pretty much watch over the youth. Pastor Kurt, English adults, and college. These are three out of the five areas that we care for. Number three, very true. English ministry is founded on, look around, youth. We're founded on college. And then a few adults who are married or married with children. Or adults who are single. But they're more few. This is a fact, and so we have to understand how we operate as an English ministry with that foundation. Personally, I think these are the most awesome groups you can have in a church. Youth, college, young adults have a lot of energy, have a lot of creativity. They see the world still as new. Sorry, when you get kind of older and you get kids, you're just like, man, how do I make it through the next day, you know? With little Johnny and little Jenny, you know. They got sick and I'm changing diapers, Anyhow, we'll talk a little bit about that. Number four, because the C4 English ministry is focused on the reaching the children, reaching the youth, and then we have this large group of English ministry adults, we are very diverse. We have to cover ages 0 all the way to 60 plus. Is a huge area to minister to. So we do need to be a bit focused. We are diverse in our ethnicity. We have Asian, we have black, we have white, we have Caucasian. That's me. Special ethnicity. Kind of weird, huh? That's your pastor. We have people in different life stages. Some are focused on diapers. Some are focused on the weed. Some are focused on girlfriend, boyfriend. Grades are everything. Other people like grades. I'm like, grades are gone for me, praise God. Some are focused on their job. Some are focused on their marriage. What I'm saying is there's huge diversity on the focus. We have to understand that we are diverse. But by diversity, it can be strength. Because you can gain experience from people who've gone before you. And the people who are younger, energy and liveliness. It's good to have diversity, but we have to understand that sometimes that can be a challenge. We also have the challenge of being very transitional. High school, all of a sudden, they're graduating to college. Hopefully they'll stay somewhere in there, but they could be leaving. The college comes, and pretty soon, 4 years passes so quick, they're graduating. And they're leaving, off to a career or a calling. I mean, about every year, we're crying that someone's leaving. And we're rejoicing someone new has come. It's a bit difficult, isn't it? But at the same time, it's also exciting to see new people transition where they will go. Because a lot of times we focus on training. One thing with the worship team, our goal is just not to lead you in worship. It's that we keep building up worship leaders. So if they go to college or they move, they will lead worship somewhere else. Sunday school. We have many different people teaching Sunday school to train them up. Number six, most of the English ministry adults, I'm going to speak adults here, are pretty busy. They're ministering to youth and children. I praise God that most everyone in here is in the boat and they're rowing. And they're serving. But you know what? Because we're so busy, sometimes it's hard to build fellowship or unity. Be connected to one another. There's two keys here, I believe, in our church. One is we need a rotating schedule. That when you serve, you're not serving for a whole quarter or semester. Like, where'd that guy go? Is he still in our church? Never seen him. No, he's just serving. That's great. But the thing is, you get disconnected. So we have a rotating system. You serve maybe only a month or 2 weeks. So you don't get burned out. So you stay connected with other people. And the second key, other than rotating service schedule, is the English adult Sunday school. And again, we're talking to adults here. That is where we connect. I'm sorry, in here, we don't connect. Okay, how you guys doing? You see me, I see you. You know, you don't usually talk to people. So adult Sunday school, we are in a circular pattern. You know, a lot of times some of you have this personality, I just want Pastor Kurt to teach and I want to learn. I don't want to do that because I want you to connect with one another. So I do Sunday school in a way that makes you talk to other people, makes you share life experience, because that's a positive. You can gain from one another's life experiences and also from their knowledge, their understanding. So we need to connect. Okay, have you guys been praying that Pastor Kurt wouldn't go too long? Okay, I'm just going to have to name some of these. Seven. English ministry, we can't do it alone. Take care of children, youth, adults. It's about 100 people if we put them all together. We need help. And so we need help from the Chinese ministry. Now, there's not a lot from the Chinese ministry in here, but we have to encourage them, train them and equip them to help serve with the children, the youth. Now, this can be challenging because we have the English language barrier. We have to understand that. If you don't understand that, please do. Okay? You don't want to go up to a person who doesn't speak English and say, hey, how are you doing today? You doing good? Yeah, I'm really good to see you. What did he say? I don't know what he said. But enough of the English or the Chinese ministry adults, their English is good enough to teach. So don't make fun of them. Don't put them down. Encourage them to come teach. Encourage them to come teach. Because we need their help. Some are like, I don't do little kids. Well, encourage them. I don't touch diaper. I don't touch little nursery kids. Okay? It's college. Now's the time to practice if you want to get married. No, whatever you can do. We need help. So encourage them. Yeah, I would say something, and I wish more of the Chinese ministry was here. The youth, don't knock them down, build them up. I get some comments, I'm sorry, about the youth, and this is not an offense, I'm being a bit immature. They're youth! What were you like? You didn't know everything. You didn't have everything perfect. You didn't do everything perfect. They're youth. Until I get 70 or 80, I'm still going to be a bit immature too. I just won't know everything. I won't do everything perfect. My wife still says that. It's true. I need help. They need help. Don't knock them down. Build them up. Personally, I think they're awesome. Who helps lead our worship most of the time? Because we didn't have anybody else. Until lately. And they do great. Who helped wax our whole floor over there? The youth? Men? Who a lot of times taking care of the nursery? Assisting with the young kids? The youth? Timothy, Paul says, Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But you go ahead and preach to teach the word with sound doctrine. You guys are awesome. You do a great job. Don't knock them down. Build them up. Build them up. I'll say it again. Build them up. Ken, Ben Lippin is a new ministry here. We got to understand it. We got to welcome them. We got to grow in that. If you just think they're weird, you're missing the whole point. Okay? Say hi. Reach out a hand. A friendly, welcoming heart is going to go a long way to build this church. We need to be friendly. Some of you are, I can't. Go ahead and just try. You don't know. That person maybe feels the same way you do. I can't. As soon as you stretch out their hand, they're like, wow, that was great. Just because you said hi. Last of all, the church, you need to be the church. You need to be the church. You need to be unified. You need to be independent. You need to be real. You need to be living for Jesus. We have some transitions coming up. Pastor Kurt is going to be moving up to Philly, working with Pastor Young Kim. He said that he would mentor me. I'm taking that very seriously. Seminary, they teach you a lot about how to read books and study scripture and stuff. They don't teach you anything about how to lead a church. I need some help. Also, there's a team up there to be working with. Also, a little bit more, Maylon and I work in charismatic gifts. We're going to be expressing those more up there. Transition is coming. We have been working as a pastoral search committee. There's Dan Lamb, there's Richard Young, Pastor Wong and I. We've already sent out an advertisement. We've been talking with people. We have about 60 people apply. We've narrowed it down to a short list of 4 people. Please be praying. We're, you know, not revealing names, but just pray for 4 people right now or more. There's someone else out there. Transitions are always a bit difficult because there's some void, but at the same time, I believe you guys are strong enough, you guys are founded enough that we're going to be okay. Worship team has been founded real well. Before, we usually had one person leading, maybe 2. Now, we got a lot of people. Sunday school, doing well, founded, growing. We have different teachers. We have many different teachers for children and youth. It's good, got a good foundation. CRC, we got a really good foundation now. Beginning to grow. We're getting more comfortable in it. Things are going well. Moses said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. We're going to have Pastor Wong come up, and we're going to have a time of prayer right now. If he can come on up. We're going to pray for English ministry. We're going to pray for Dan and Tricia. I'm going to help lead some prayer for Pastor Wong, and but I'll turn that over to him and then help him as needed.
I would like all of us to spend some time to pray for Pastor Kurt and his family as they prepare to for the transition. And I would appreciate you people pray for the Pastor Search Committee. I will ask them to come out also. Richard, Dan, Pastor Kurt. So let's pray for Pastor Kurt and his family. And also pray for the Pastor Search Committee. Ask that God will give us the wisdom and will bring a pastor that we are praying for. We don't know who, we don't know which one. But ask God to guide us and lead us. So if you can, let's stand and let's pray for Pastor Kurt's family and also pray for Pastor Search Committee and ask God to bless our English congregation, English ministry. So let's, you know, just raise out our voice if you want to, and pray for you know, just the thing that I mentioned just now. So let's pray.